yes, yes, yes. Another episode of the Cast Offs podcast. We are here. We are chatting. We got someone in here. Mate, how are you?
Good, mate. I'm good.
Yes, Wes. I haven't seen this guy for a minute. What have you doing, mate?
Hot minute.
Well, same like you. Sort of started up my own thing during lockdown.
Yeah.
During COVID, always fun time starting a company during COVID.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know the company. What's the company called, mate? Plug it.
It's Bold Media.
Bold Media.
Bold Media agency, yeah.
Brilliant. What does he do, mate? What does he do? What, is it an agency, model agency, or OnlyFans part two?
Not quite.
Oh, right, you're getting there.
Getting there. Yeah, maybe in the future.
Yeah.
No, it's videography, photography, and social media management.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Fantastic. So who have you got working for you? Or is it on your own? Or?
So no, I got myself and my business partner, Dave Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy, shout me, bro. Shout me. DM me, Kennedy.
just to drop in there, also hiring Fuzzy Kiwi Media.
Hey, the plug in.
because somebody decided to break his leg on holiday, may I add, on holiday.
Mate, how was Thailand?
It was good, mate. It was good until the second to last day.
What happened, mate? Why am I laughing already? Tell us what happened, mate.
So, ended up breaking my leg, basically, but on a boat, as you do, chilling, relaxing, acting on cool.
Oh, I love the Will Smith reference there.
And then decide to pratt around whilst you're going into some big waves, as you do. And yeah, just ended up breaking my leg, really, going up and down over these big waves. Jumped up, landed, leg snapped underneath me.
How many places?
So three places.
Bloody hell.
So fully snapped the tibia and fractured the fibula in two places. And tore the ligament between both bones as well. So.
Sorry.
Get out yourself because you
look. Why are you laughing?
I know.
All right, kids. When we say to you get travel insurance, you try and fucking ignore it. This is the reason you get travel insurance.
You have travel insurance.
Yeah.
Phew. If you didn't have it, how much would that have cost you?
About 16, 17 grand.
That's a car, isn't it?
In the end. So definitely worth it. I've always been one for, do you really need it?
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen until you're
exactly,
on it. I've always thought, you're young, you're healthy, you don't expect anything to happen. Mm-hmm. But when something happens that you don't expect, obviously, it's definitely worth it.
Have you ever traveled without travel insurance?
Yes.
Probably, yes.
I
would have thought so, yeah.
I'm not going to anymore.
There you go. We have a health and safety people. Insurance.
Wesley, you should have made an advert while you're at it.
This is why you don't.
Yeah. Unless you can see tomorrow and play next week's lottery numbers today, get your insurance, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was a long, long, I had to stay out there another 10 because I had obviously afterwards, went straight to hospital, had to have surgery the next day to have a plate fitted in my leg to hold the tibia bone together. Bloody and then was in hospital for another 4 days. Had to stay in hospital for 4 days, an entire hospital where no one spoke a word of English. It was pretty much all sign language to try and work out what the hell was going on.
Wow.
Which was fun times. And because they had a lot of COVID regulations over there, I couldn't have anyone else in there with me. So,
can you imagine that without them obviously understanding English, then they fucking fit you in and your whole foot goes the other way around. You're done now. You can go. See you next year. Oh, they mix and match the feet.
just imagine if he didn't have insurance. That's what they were just cut it off. I don't need that.
We got you here. So how long have you been on crutches for? I mean, you've come out of it now. You're hobbling along now.
I obviously got out of hospital 4 days, had to stay in Thailand for another 10 days because I wasn't allowed to fly afterwards due to the swelling in your leg. If you then get on a plane due to the air pressure, cabin pressure, and you go up in the air, you then basically risk of getting blood clot. Basically, I've forgotten the actual technical
blood term. Clot, mate. Bumper clot.
Need a button for
that.
Prices we're gonna get.
So, mate, what have you been doing with your time? Obviously, you can't do anything.
No,
are you still able to have sex?
Yes.
Did you smash? Are you smashing?
I'm just not talking from experience.
Yes. Yes, he is.
That was very, like, firm, was it?
Yes. Oh, well, he had, like, the one leg on the stool.
Bottom only.
Does she have to sign a waiver? Say, why are you? You can't sue me on the line.
He has insurance for it, don't worry. Everything's insured.
I had the thrust. Three thrust. You can't, anything over three thrust, insurance is invalid. Oh, gosh, I didn't start that shit. Mate, oh, seriously, what have we been dealing with your time, though? Seriously.
When I first got back, I was still pretty immobile. Like, mm-hmm. I was obviously on crutches full-time, couldn't put any weight on my right leg at all, so... Mm-hmm. Just pretty much, I was bedbound / kind of just hopping to my desk where I was just literally hopping around. Now I've got one big leg and one tiny leg, not putting any weight on it.
It's like a superhero serum gone wrong.
Oh, this is loving this far too much.
Oh, this is amazing. Yeah. But, did you have time to check out what's been going on in the world or read or check the
news? Well, I mean, while I was actually in Thailand, I couldn't do anything, so I was just Netflix straight.
Yeah.
So just literally lying in bed, and then got back, and obviously I had a huge build-up of work that I had to get through. Obviously, mm-hmm. I can't go out on jobs at the moment, but I just had a load of editing I had to do, so just sat in front of the computer all day, every day, just editing, really.
Yeah, and what have you been watching? Anything you recommend on Netflix we can watch?
Well, not Netflix, but Disney, watching the new series of Bel-Air. See the spin-off of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'm loving this whole Will Smith selection, isn't it? It's not straight away from it.
Really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Is that like the dark?
The dark.
But
kind of
well, the reviews have not been great.
I thought it was really good.
I watched the first episode and I was high, to be fair.
You have to get into
fell asleep. And it was dark, but... so you recommend that?
Yeah, no, 100% recommend that. If you have to get, like you say, if you can't just watch the first episode, it's one of those ones you have to get into, mm-hmm. and it brings in all the different characters throughout. So like the first episode, you really only introduced Will, mm-hmm. and then obviously
is this the same guy who made that trailer?
Yeah,
and so the
but now Will Smith.
Yeah, we still took it up, obviously commissioned it, and he's still executive producer of it, isn't it? Yeah. Have you watched it yet, Tess?
I haven't. No.
Why not?
Because I don't get a chance to watch TV.
Yeah. Then you're going to sleep at night, though, so what's the excuse?
I'm going to watch it then. I'm going to watch it tonight.
I think the cast is cast really well, apart from Uncle Phil. Everyone's cast really well. Yeah, Uncle Phil is...
He doesn't look like Uncle.
He doesn't look like Uncle Phil. He's like this big, like, frat bro. Macho man. Whereas Uncle Phil, he's...
Like, I don't really like spin-offs from original.
Yeah, it's still an original, but they've got like the darker version of it. But what it's they've done with Uncle Phil, instead of Uncle Phil being nice and cuddly.
When he kind of goes, so I don't know.
Man's under the
thumb. What's your take on it? From a female point of view.
I think there was obviously some beef with them two before anyway about his wife, wasn't there?
It wasn't, was because...
Like, hadn't he said some like jokes
in 2016? No, it was more to do because in 2016, both of it was Will Smith first and then the missus would join it, but they said they were not going to attend the Oscars because they thought the Oscars was too white, you know, the whole hashtag back then. I think it was around the time that obviously Chris Rock, who's hosted the Oscars for a while, he was hosting that particular one. And that's what he's been painted. He's a comedian. Mm. So it's never personal. And I'm still of the belief that slap on Chris Rock, I don't even think it was actually for the joke he did.
I think like, it was all a bit staged, if you're asking.
Exactly what I thought. As soon as I watched that, it looks like a spoof kind of slap.
It's like, ratings have both dropped for Chris Rock and Will Smith. Something to get some media attention.
Everyone was saying that you wouldn't... I probably didn't even know the Oscars, even though I'm a big... Because I'm in the media industry, I didn't think the Oscars was on that night. But obviously now everyone knew the Oscars was on.
Oh, I was watching it, it was insomnia.
I think that... If it was staged, mm-hmm. then Will Smith wouldn't have a 10-year ban from the Oscars. Like,
yeah,
he's not going to put a career at risk.
I think initially, when you watched it, because when you watch it in real time, you think it was staged because of the way Chris Rock, like, obviously he went over, he just leaned into it. But then I think most of the people in there thought it was staged until when he obviously went back and sat down and instead saying the F-bomb. I'm thinking, Will Smith's never sworn. I mean, Eminem's got tracks about Will Smith.
He can't even swear on his raps.
He did it. I remember that Eminem song from 99. Will Smith doesn't have the cuss in his records, so, but I do, so fuck him and fuck you too. And that, I think, whoa, that is serious. You see Lupita's face in it next. That her face is a meme for life.
And, there's more to it, though, than just that joke.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually about the joke. I think it was more, like you said, it was like, they both laughed. I've seen it loads of times. They both laughed at the initial joke. And also, as well, the three actual hostesses of the Oscars that night, they cracked jokes with them. They made jokes out of them. They didn't do nothing. It was like, everyone's got that thing of having, obviously, that light bulb moment, or not light bulb moment, that red mist moment. It's literally instant. I think that's what happened. And I think the leaning thing with Chris Rock is to do more. I think he thought Will Smith wanted to say something in it to his ears. So he just leaned. You just set yourself up, innit?
I thought he was joking, like to go and smack him.
Yeah.
Gone like that, go on then. And then he's really.
But the, I mean, then the question is, you're a female. I want your take, because we've had people make excuses, right? And we're going to talk about this more.
No, it's totally wrong. 100%. It's,
no, because people say, oh, he was standing off his lady, da 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 da.
No, I don't think there's any excuse for that. I personally think he shouldn't have done it. End of, like,
it's no excuse. It's the Oscar for, if it's even that industry, that's the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's loads of ways you can handle stuff. If you're unhappy about what was said, you can deal with it at the back, or when you, because he 100% knew he was going to win it anyway. Yeah. I mean, the Golden Globes were like a week or two before, which is always a precursor.
I actually watched that film the day before.
Yeah, King Richard, isn't it?
It's
actually
really sick.
There you go. So he obviously, because they sat in the front row, and the thing is, he could have gone on the mic and said, I didn't like that. Oh, go say something to Chris, isn't it? It was so, I'm a big, big, big Will Smith fan. Huge. I unfollowed him instantly because I was so disappointed. I thought, dude, it's such a shame, because now.
I think a lot of it's her, though, if I'm perfectly honest. She's not a nice person.
But again, she didn't push him. He's a grown-ass man. He's 52.
She made the eyes, which was like, if you don't do this later, I'm going to lock you in that kennel. Or I'll tell you that actually, I want to get back with Tupac.
I do see the whole bit with Jada, but I'm tending to leave the whole it's Jada's fault thing out of it, because at the end of the day, I just see him as he's a grown man.
Yeah.
Unless he literally had him in ropes and dragged him to go. She said something allegedly not too long ago after the incident, saying, well, I didn't tell him to do it. And I remember I was speaking to a mate a day after. I said, mate, people saying, oh, he was looking out for his mission. I think that's kind of insulting. It's like, she's a grown-ass woman as well.
I'd be embarrassed if my...
Exactly, because it's like I'd be more this tired. Is not the 1500s. We're like, ladies are not in corsets anymore. It's like, oh my God, oh, my champion. It's all independent equality. She can fight her own battles. And I think you can't use that. And if you're still thinking, oh, because, oh, it's such a cute thing, he was standing up for his name, I think he's sad, really. And I've had it mostly come from women. Which I'm thinking, you can't say that. So you can fight your own battles. So, I mean, Chris Rock handled it professionally, I think.
I thought, you can see Chris Rock go to clench his hands.
Oh, he's from Brooklyn. He's Brooklyn in the house. Because would you have handled it that way?
But I don't know.
Man, I would have just laughed that shit off. Like, he was laughing anyway.
He was laughing.
At the end of the day, it's a joke. He's a comedian. That's like me going to one of your comedy shows.
Yeah.
And someone having a pop at me and me having a strop about it.
It happens. But I'm not even buying the alopecia excuse as well. Okay, let's look at the alopecia excuse. It's like, okay, hold on a second. I didn't know she had it. Because I've known about Jada from the Keep Your Head Up video with Tupac. So literally you're looking at 20 years, 30 years now. She's always had cropped hair. Every now and again she had the slick thing, but mostly cropped hair. She looked good. She looked hot. I was smashed. That's how hot she looked. It's
keep her name out of your fucking mouth. Okay.
Can I say JADA? But it was like, I doubt Chris Rock will have known about the alopecia bit. I mean, they've done a movie together. Yeah, a cartoon movie in Madagascar, which actually did the voice for the thingy, and he did the voice for that. But if you look at how he started the whole thing, he's dissed other people. Oh, not dissed. He made a joke about prank other people and came to that. He said, Jada, I love you. Then went into it.
Yeah.
So
it's part of the show. Yes. Like, it's comedy, isn't it?
It's like,
it's a dick, but it's comedy.
I don't know if it was the BAFTAs or last year's Oscars. Whenever Ricky Gervais.
Oh, Golden Glove last year. He was brutal. Remember, pedo, so Catholics, crazy. Everything.
Yeah.
He went that in. But that is the whole thing. This big award shows, they get booked. The comedians get booked to host it, to get everybody at ease. As the Oscars or the Grammys are trying to tell, obviously, us common folks, say, you know, these guys are regular folks, you can take the piss out of them. It's like, I've always said to people, is we are getting too sensitive. And if you know you're very sensitive, you have a right to be sensitive. But if you know you are going to be you're that kind of person, then don't go to a comedy show or don't be around where comedians are.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Or walk out. Okay, let's assume he had alopecia. He knew that she had alopecia. Let's assume that. It's not cancer. It's not a terminal disease. It's like, chill the fuck out. What I know is comedians take the piss out of themselves more than take the piss out of other people. They start with themselves first. I just thought, I don't buy it, but it is. And so Bad Boys 4 is not happening then.
That's what we've
ended on.
That's that.
Oh, wow.
I think it was like between, I can't remember the exact number, it was like between 6 and 10 of his films have just been axed straight away.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing, this is the Oscars, like I say, it's the pinnacle, right? Will Smith, he's rich anyway. Mm. But, I mean, the 10-year ban should be 20, but there you go. And this is coming from a fan. I think it's again, you look at the other winners as well of the set of awards that night. Because that whole thing, it overshadowed King Richard anyway. It overshadowed the movie itself. It overshadowed his award, which I think he deserved it. It was actually, you've seen the film. I've watched half of it. I need to finish it. But that overshadowed it. It overshadowed the other winners. I don't know who the best actress was.
No,
do you know?
I don't know any of it. Apart from
best movie? You know?
The whole night was just focused on that.
I know my guy, Questlove from The Roots, who won the best documentary for Some of Soul, he won the best documentary for that. But that was the word Chris Rock was about to obviously give out. Then he made the joke, so that kind of overshadowed as well.
Yeah,
so, Will, man, Will, I hope he gets the help he needs, because I think it definitely wasn't Chris Rock. He wasn't. I think Chris Rock was just that totem pole, was that the thing for what just ran out his frustration. Joke, so he can't be about the joke because they both laughed at it. Even after the slap, you've seen the other angle as well.
Yeah,
after the slap, he's walking down. To go see, she's still laughing. And when he sits, she wouldn't even look at him.
Yeah.
It's like, you on your own, mate. What would you have done, Tess, if your fella did that?
I'd be fuming. I mean, there was an incident, not that Chris has ever slapped anyone in front of me, but I think some guy had, I don't know, something really stupid a few years ago, it's actually quite a long time ago, but Chris, like, got in his face, like, oh, rah, you know, like, what? I can't even remember what it was about, something really stupid. And it was like warranted, like this guy had been a right dick. But I was just like, just walk away. Like he's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like you don't act like that in public. Like you're a full grown ass man. Like you deal with it like an adult. You don't start, you know, he didn't put fists up or anything. He was just like, you know, what the fuck. Like,
I get that, but I mean, just the point, because people might think, oh, he you know, like to stand up for your lady. There are levels to this. If I am with my lady out in a club and some idiots go and literally, because this is a big thing now, people just put their hands up over women's skirt. Yeah. You are getting knocked the fuck out. I don't care. You are going
different, like sexual harassment.
That's what I'm saying.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, but then if you compare that to what happened with, obviously, Chris.
Yeah.
It didn't warrant that.
No.
It just didn't warrant that. Would you tell Chris off if he did it?
100%.
Would you divorce him?
I wouldn't divorce him.
How long is he be on the couch for?
Probably quite not. What if he did what Will Smith did?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It would just be more of a like embarrassment. Like, grow the fuck up and be an adult and like you don't act like that as a full man. Like over something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. Obviously, as you said, if you're in a club and say, for example, a guy came and groped me in front of him and he hit him, then I mean, I don't believe in like dealing with things with violence anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's more warranted than the kind of Will Smith situation. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay, so if I'm gonna ask from,
sorry, it's a party going downstairs.
Hear it going on in the bass.
They've been partying.
Oh,
probably almost 24 hours.
So, okay, let's say Wes, I'm going to ask you, then I'm going to come back and ask you. Yeah. Let's say you're out with a missus.
Yeah.
And somebody said a joke that he didn't like. How would you have handled it? Okay, say you're the Oscars. And it was you.
I wouldn't react like Will Smith, I don't think.
Sticking the chin, isn't it?
You'd make a kind of like a unimpressed face for the camera, so they're aware that you weren't too happy about that. And you have the chat with Chris Rock afterwards or with whoever. Like, I know obviously a lot of these jokes and stuff have to be for Oscars or any other awards like that. Usually they have to be passed through the governing body of the award ceremony to make sure that they're okay. Apparently that hadn't happened for that joke or whatever reason. Maybe they're just covering their own backs there. But yeah, I wouldn't have gone up on stage on live TV knowing that millions of people around the world are going to see my reaction to that, because it's just going to ruin your career like it potentially has done for Will.
You must have been that angry, though. Do you know what I mean? That moment of just, like you say, red mist, where you're just like, right, like, fuck this. Just slap him.
But I'm going to leave you two to continue chatting. I need to quickly run downstairs. Just
so out the party.
Yeah, so out the party.
Don't get this turn music down. Enjoy it a bit.
Right, well, that's busy. He's off.
I might need to shoot as well.
Oh, right, well, we're cutting this one short then, aren't we? That was like the abrupt ending to a podcast.
Bye, then.
You can't even see me on this right now, but there we go. Wesley's fucking off as well.
I need to move my car. I've parked in a half an hour only bay.
Well, don't get we're not paying for the ticket.
Yeah, you better go.
Right, well, lovely. Woo, 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 woo.
Very, very, very drunk Bob, staggering up the hill, going towards Barso, and he was just dropping
all the money.
Wads of money.
Oh, no. it was a case of two steps forward, two steps and all the money was coming out of my pocket. Oh. And then coming up, Bob, you're losing your money. So I'd shove it in the pocket. And then it'd come out again. Bob.
We learned after that to get bags from the bank.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was, so that was like, so the first night, and you think, this is great. Bob's lost half the money.
Yeah. It was his half.
Let's do another one. So, Show Bar was the natural home, the first place you guys started in it. Anyway, so I didn't hear about Bump and Hustle at Show Bar. When I started hearing it, it was Bump and Hustle at the Pavilion.
That's right. Yeah,
so, how long did it take between going from Show Bar? Obviously, you guys are growing.
Well, to be fair, we were happy at the Show Bar.
Yeah.
I don't know. How censored is this? Can we say what we like?
Oh, see, yeah.
We were happy at the Show. At the Show Bar. You know, I think the capacity was 650, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, we used to put 900.
We had about 900 people in there every time we did it. And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was Stacey Burgess, wasn't it, and Kevin Sheehan that were like, you could move this up scale to the BIC.
No, it wasn't. What had happened was somebody had booked the Show Bar.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So he said, right, the Show Bar's booked. I don't know, must have been a conference on or something.
Yeah.
So he said, you can do the Pavilion. Right, so he took us over to the Pavilion. We looked at the size of the Pavilion and thought, how the hell are we going to fit this?
Refugees going to Rwanda. By Mr. I have my take, but I want to get your take first on it. By Mr. Boris and the Conservative government. Mm-hmm. I'll start with ladies first. We've heard about it, obviously.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I haven't kind of looked too much into it, but I've seen the news and kind of know a little bit. My personal opinion is I don't think it's really going to put a dent in the actual overall crisis, because they've said what is going to house this. This place that they're sending them houses 100 refugees, and there's, I don't want to quote figures, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands coming. So I suppose I'm just questioning, what's the purpose in 100? I know they want to make a point, like, don't come over, you could be potentially shipped 4,000 miles away and never go home. But I don't really see the amount of money it's costing and everything to, I don't see really the gains that are going to come from it. If it was on a bigger scale and they had maybe multiple complexes they can put people in, maybe it would be more of a positive. But I don't. I just no.
So the distance thing's not a problem if there's enough to accommodate everyone.
I think it's wrong anyway to ship people 4,000 miles away. I mean, these people are obviously in crisis. You get the ones that are coming over anyway, but there are ones that are in severe crisis to ship them then the other side of the world. No, I don't agree. I don't agree with it.
Omar?
Where do I start with this? Look, so you're telling me that people are fleeing from war-torn countries.
You know, persecution.
Persecution, you know, for one, you know, for maybe being, you know, gay or, you know, for even being a woman, let alone a war-torn country or for what you think. And then you get to somewhere where you think is a safe haven and that place is sending you 4,000 miles away. When accepting other demographics that are fleeing the same situation, and you're accepting that, and even with that, it's a debacle. You know, there are so many people that are fleeing wars all over the world.
Yep.
You're allowing a certain demographic to come through, and the other demographic can't come through.
When I first started it, again, it was an idea. I loved the boat, so this is what I mean. This is how I know it's easy for other people to fall in love with it, because I did. So it started just doing private charters, and the gin cruise was my first event where I thought, I love gin, I've got a boat, and it went national news. It went crazy. But the thing was, is by doing the ticketed events, of course they make money as well, but it's like a shop window. So someone, it's a lot of money to charter a boat in the grand scheme of things. So someone comes on a £40 ticketed event and then goes, wow, I could do this for my birthday, and that. So it's basically a shop window as well.
Yeah,
ticketed
events. So it's 2017. Like I did a little bit of research. World's first gin cruise. What brought that idea?
Yeah, so I didn't know that. I'd say I just had a boat and I like gin. I was like, I'll do a gin cruise. So I phoned loads of gin companies, got them to send me free samples of gin, and that was an amazing few weeks. I was literally just boxes of free gin turning up every day at the office. I was like, wow. And then I phoned the Bournemouth Echo. And my literally opening gambit, they answered the phone and said, do you like gin? And they're like, so who is this? I said, oh, my name's John, I've got a boat, we're doing a gin cruise, I'll give you free tickets, like four or six of you, if you do a pre-story about it. So they did, and then I realised now how media works. Slow news days in all these other, so Metro, like they did it, Evening Standard, they just basically copied the story and it just went boof, went national news. And I had Conquer Gin's PR company phone me up and say, how have you done this? And I was like,
Again, I don't think I have done this since we started. I need to big up my boy, DJ Temper. For a hot soundtrack for our intro.
Come on.
Love you, boy. And I will see you soon. And August 6th, isn't it? Man's playing in the garden.
You and this August thing, man. Just let it go.
Peak summer, bro. It's peak.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. It's a summer garden party. Tickets go out May. But hey, check the social.
That's all I can say, really.
Gang business, please.
Gang business. All right, question number two.
Okay.
I'll start with No Face. If you rule the world for a day, what will you do?
For a day?
Yeah, you just have a day to rule the world.
If I rule the world.
Imagine that.
I'd have all the KFC.
KFC?
I love it, baby.
I would. If I ruled the world
for
a day. See, it's a bit of a limit here, isn't there?
You don't have a day, bro. You have 24 hours. Yeah.
And then what?
How long do you want? A year?
Well, yeah, make the most of it.
All right, I mean, okay.
It's a bit lackluster, isn't it?
Okay, let's give you, will a week work?
Yeah, I still don't know what I'd do, though. Probably just...
You don't want to say that. I know what he's going to say.
Go to Jamaica. With a private jet that I stole.
Probably take you a day to get to Jamaica, and that's done.
Exactly, done. And then I've got to come home. No, honestly, I don't really know.
Yeah?
If I ruled the world, because it's a tricky one, right?
I thought that was kind of simple. Sean, I bet you got something for me.
I would honestly, I'm thinking I should say something like, oh yeah, do that, this. I would honestly make every single person say good morning to each other. That's what I would honestly do.
Back at the show bar, there was one we did, and it was chucking snow down, so everyone turned up early. Mm-hmm. We tell everybody, even the hardcore, just come early, because you're not going to get in otherwise.
Yeah.
So by 9:30, it was literally gale. It was a gale going outside. We were rammed inside. And there was the mother of all queues outside, and people banging on the windows.
Just to get out of the snow.
We couldn't let anybody in. Pop and I had to go downstairs, look round the corner, and wave and disappear.
I can imagine that if there was social media back then, they'd have just gone straight up to the page and said,
yeah, thank God mobile phones.
I'll tell you what, if there was social media back then, I think there'd be a load of divorces.
Yeah.
And some lawsuits.
Let's start with Big Willie style, innit?
Ooh, Big Willie
style. Yeah, I mean, it happened just after the last recording.
The slap of the century.
Yes, and I just thought, you as a comedian and an actor, let's get your take on it. Let's chat about it. Let's get Tess's take on it as well. But we would like to hear what you have to say first. Obviously, it's the slap that was heard around the world.
Yeah, listen, that slap was one of those slaps that have outweighed all the other slaps that I've ever witnessed in my life.
Slapalicious.
You know, and I'm Nigerian, so you know there have been a few slaps that I have witnessed in my life. Much less my own slaps. You get me? You know, but I was shocked. I was gobsmacked when I first saw that, you know. And then I had to take a step back and go, really, Will? You know, at the Oscars, you're slapping people at the Oscars? What's really going on?
He was slapping with chest as well.
He was slapping with chest. He had bass on that. Yeah, he took out all the treble, all the tops. Yeah, and that was just pure bass. And I thought to myself, what's really going on for you there? Because there must be underlining issues for a man on one of the biggest nights of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to win the best Oscar award, you know, like, you know, that must have been something that he'd been dreaming of as a kid, you know, and for him to lose that sensible moment to get up and slap someone in front of millions of people, for me, something deeper is going on.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I have no opinion in regards to Johnny and Amber. I have no opinion at all. I just think we're not there. Someone's got one side of the story. The other person's got a different story. But so there's some truths in between that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. We're not there during the pillow talks or pillow fight. So let's just skip that and look at the whole thing in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a conversation with someone that said, oh, it's good that people are highlighting them on social media because they are celebrities, blah, blah, blah. And my argument with that is, well, there's been domestic abuse, unfortunately, from time. Yeah. And there's been domestic abuse with celebrities from time. Yeah. Nothing's actually changed, really. I mean, in fact, if you look at the figures, domestic abuse has risen in the last 3 years, mostly during the pandemic when you're all locked in. Right. So I don't want to look at Johnny and Amber specific. I want to look at it as in general. So I want to see what your take is on that and what can be done to help the abused. I'm a believer in second chances as well, and to help the abusers as well. So let's see what you guys have to say about that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, to answer your question, fortunately for me, I haven't personally been involved in it. Mm-hmm. Any domestic violence, and that's the way I'd like to keep it.
And domestic violence on any level, whether it's a man to a woman mm-hmm. or a woman to a man, on any level is abhorrent, so it can't be supported. With regards to what you're saying on the what's in the media with regards to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, in a way, for me, I think it's a little bit of a media circus.
Mm-hmm.
In respect to the way that it's being portrayed. You know, it is a very, very, very serious subject, domestic violence. And the way that this particular case is coming through to me, it's taking away the seriousness
yeah.
of the domestic violence,
yeah.
i.e. every 2 minutes, you know, you check your phone, there's a meme.
It becomes a circus now, like you
yeah,
said.
Yeah. There's
yeah.
a meme
yeah.
Where voices are being dubbed in court cases. And this is going out to a younger generation.
Mm.
And this younger generation, through social media, can be susceptible to influences that are coming out and not really realising the seriousness of what it is. This is a domestic violence case. There shouldn't be any memes. There shouldn't be any jokes about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It should be seen in the light of how serious it is. So that would be my concern moving forward with domestic case issues.
Okay.
Because you know, there are so many people that are suffering from this, and it's serious for them. You know, even as we speak, there's, you know, people are being abused within their own households.
Mm-hmm.
As you stated, through lockdown,
yeah.
Domestic violence issues have risen. So I believe it is a duty of these maybe social media companies or media in general
mm-hmm.
to shine a light on the seriousness
mm-hmm.
of domestic violence.
Okay.
And this is one of the reasons why I'm not really following that case, because that's how it's come across to me.
Yeah.
We can see that it's not really painting Amber Heard in a great light.
Yeah.
So again, there's another angle there. You know, she's because that's a really naughty charge, you know, for someone to turn around and say, well, you know, he's been or she's been abusive or violent to me, and it not being true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really serious charge.
Older generation a lot think, I mean, I won't say names, but someone close to me has even said, oh, well, I would have got a doctor's appointment if all these immigrants weren't here, you know, taking up all our appointments and NHS services.
Mm.
And you think, I don't know, I think they're more impressionable, especially with the media. Mm. Like my dad literally, sorry, Dad, if you're watching, but, you know, he'll just take as fact everything the media is showing.
Yeah.
They only show you what they want to see. The
Times never lies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, I think,
People and people will want to blame, you know, immigrants and stuff like that for not getting appointments and jobs and blah, blah, blah. But it's the incompetence of our own government that's put us in that position,
mm-hmm.
to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain jobs that and I hate the word, that so-called immigrants
mm-hmm.
would do, that people that were born and bred here won't do.
Yeah, I'm still looking for an English cockle picker. I've never found one.
Yeah, that's right. or the fruits.
No spray, no lay. Who's from Norwich? Never found one. And that's a job. That's a need. You need to basically get into a loo, wash your hands, and get sprayed up and go do your thing.
As everyone knows in this industry, like, hard work beats talent. Because we were working hard, number one. But then also they say it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Networking,
again, it worked a bit of both. We was working hard. We was getting noticed and stuff like that. And I mean, I think what I'm trying to say is, you got to prepare for the opportunities.
Yes.
Because we was prepared. We were so, sharp at that time. When he came around and offered us the radio opportunity, we was ready. We was like, oh,
boom,
we're waiting
it.
For something like
yeah.
this. Bang. And then it's like, yeah, we're on radio. The first time we went to the radio, they must have cussed us off. We come in there with all our record boxes and stuff like that. And they cussed us off. and said, "Oh, you mad idiot, this is pirate radio station, Mary, you're coming with your boxes." But we never knew any better. It's the first time we've been there.
But you weren't prepared. That's the thing.
In that respect, we wasn't. We weren't overly prepared because how we used to look at Codeware sound system, and we've still got the same mentality now. We bring all our records because we didn't know what we're going to play. And we're used to playing all night. When we're doing our little community raves and stuff like that, we're going from the beginning, stringing up the sound, playing all to the end, then stringing down the sound and taking it home. So we're going to radio station with that same mentality.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We don't know what we're going to need to play. All we're bringing, the 7-inch box, the crates, everything. They cut us off very rare. But again, when we went and done the show, they were like, yeah, they're feeling it. And then we played Garage in the show as well.
Yeah.
Codeware Sound System, Garage was only a small fraction of what we'd done.
Yeah.
And we played the Garage set, and they were like, whoa, no, that's the thing. But again, it's just timing.
Timing, innit?
At that point, Garage was coming in. It was
creeping
popular.
Up, innit? Yeah.
Yeah, and we was playing Garage as a sound system in a different way. They were like, right, you know what? You, man, the mix-up thing's called, have two shows. You know, have the mix-up show and then you have a Garage show. And we was doing them both simultaneously. But again, where Garage is a new thing and a new flavour, that show was just getting more popular and cheeking.
Jesus Christ, man.
And it's like, yeah. So again, it's weird because Mo was a hip-hop DJ. So prior to us doing Pirate Radio, I was like a bashment DJ. Mo was a hip-hop DJ. And Fonty was playing Jungle and in the Garage.
So you basically had all the facets of the music, in, like of different kinds of genres, into one, innit?
Well, yeah.
And that's what makes you guys stand out, in my opinion.
With the sound. That's what a sound system does. We played everything. We played soca. We played dance. We played slow jams. The swing beat coming. We started playing that. We played everything right across the board as a sound system. So anytime we go a place, whether it's a wedding or a dance or Shabin's ending, we can cater for it. And the same way we went to the radio, we were playing, mixing up everything. Busta Rhymes, Mariah Carey, Rare, and then we played a little segment on Garage. And then the Garage got mad. So, yeah, they split the show. We had the mix-up show and the Garage show. And the Garage show just started to pop off, basically.
Yeah, because it was around that time as well. The Garage show was popping off. So it just kind of just sinking.
Again, organically happened. We weren't trying to be Garage DJs or anything like that. So then what happened? And again, Fonty sometimes like, because Fonty wasn't necessarily trying to be a Garage DJ. It's weird. He was a bad boy DJ. But prior to Fonty's just a musician. He can play music. He can write music. He can play instruments, guitar, trumpet, this one, that one. Remember, like I said at the beginning, he was the first one spitting out all three of us. And he was a bad boy spitter in our area. So it just, again, happened when the Garage took off. Fonty's now the main DJ. It happened by
default. Just fell into it,
It's kind of like, well, Garage is taking off. You're the Garage DJ. Yeah. And now me and Mo are the Garage MCs.
Yeah.
Okay, so we met through mutual friends. I was doing a writing session. I'd just come back from Jamaica. I was recording and writing over there. It was kind of the universe brought us together.
That's what we spoke about before, the universe, isn't it? Yeah, it's a recurring theme, isn't it? Yeah.
It really brought us together. Like, there's a longer story to it, but to kind of keep it short, I was recording in Jamaica. I'd done an album. I came back to London to just sort out a few things in my home here. Whilst I was hit, you know, I can't just sit down and do nothing. So I went to a writing session and I met a mutual friend of Bush.
Yeah.
And he told us about what Bush was doing. And it's just really crazy because at the time, my mind was like, I'm going to Jamaica. I'd been working with like this Grammy award winning producer.
Yeah.
And so the album, I thought, I'm going to win a Grammy. Like, this is my mindset. I don't care. I'm going back to Jamaica. And when I met Bush, everything Bush was talking about is what was in my heart, which is really strange. Like, I'd be sitting in the studio and Bush would come in and be talking about creating, you know, the UK's Motown and, you know, doing all these wonderful things. And I was just like, wow, this is, you know, and I follow my spirit. So my spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Told me to stay and I stayed.
And that was it. And basically,
you
know, it.
And now I'm getting interviewed by you. So I'm right.
It's a blessing, bro. It's a blessing. Obviously, this is the first time we're meeting, isn't it? I mean, through obviously Bush mutually, when the Peru remix came out, and I thought, the voice, bro, where's this voice come from? So I can see where the Motown be. I mean, tell us about your background. Are you from a family of artists, singers?
Okay, well, I grew up in the church singing.
Yeah, gospel. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but the funny thing was I never knew that I was producing and writing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got into it by default because we didn't have anybody to make beats.
Yeah.
We just used to like
just try at the table.
Sing on anything.
Yeah.
But it's crazy again how the universe works, because that was kind of my training to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Producing records and hooks and working things
together. Yeah.
So yeah, that was.
And you see, you're songwriter as well. Yeah. So yeah, and obviously you write for other people as well. And when Bush, when you met Sweet, Sweet, or should I say Sweet B?
People call me Sweet. When you met, call me B.
What? I mean, because obviously you've met loads of artists in your time, innit?
Yeah.
What made him stand out for you?
It's weird, and I mean, I'm just being honest. Hmm. It, nothing actually stood out. Funny enough, it's not. It's like we ask. A lot of artists come in and I always will say the dream and say what man's trying to do.
Yeah.
And P connected with it and felt it, you understand? Like, all the artists, like, not to say that all the artists are the same and stuff like that, but what I would say to about P is different than all the other artists. Mm-hmm. He actually listened, believed, and gave it a chance.
If you're going to slap someone from the heart with chest, then apologise from the heart with chest.
Yeah.
That's how I see it, because... We all make mistakes. We all do. And I just think he had the opportunity to do it. He had that same platform, same night. Thing he said, dude, I'm sorry. I just so out of turn off me.
He might have still been reeling, though, in the whole emotional.
Yeah, but he's done. But the speech was justifying and protecting your family, your love will make you do crazy things. Dude.
Well, I'm trying to look at this from a human level.
Yeah.
You know?
But I am looking at it from a human level. Yeah, it's like if I've messed up straight away, I'm going to do everything I can in that same moment to make sure I make up for it.
Yeah.